Second book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. I'm just going to memorize the books of the Bible just to get them down. Kind of rules for finding books of the Bible. If it sounds like a name that you would hear, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, it's probably New Testament. All the T books of the Bible, Timothy and Titus and such, are all in the New Testament. If it sounds like a name that's really strange, like Hezekiah or Zephaniah or Haggai, then it's probably Old Testament. Just little things to help you remember. If you don't know, your Bible probably has a thing in the front that tells you what page it's on, and you can do it that way too. Exodus 13, start at verse 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, which is interesting. It's not nothing to do with the message, but Joseph, when he was, of course, lived his life in Egypt, he said, I don't want to be buried in Egypt. I want to be buried in the land of promise. And so they carried his bones around for hundreds of years. And they took him out of Egypt with them, just like he wanted. I want to say something real important to you, it's biblically important, is your dead body is important. People say, it's just a body, I'll just get it cremated. That's not biblical. That's the seed that is planted in the ground that gets resurrected for your new body. If somebody got cremated, anything. If they got cremated, then don't say anything. If they're at their funeral, you shouldn't have cremated grandma. They're already grieving. It's too late. You can't put it back together. But you don't need to say anything. But biblically, you should be buried. Your body is, it's called being planted in the ground. And 1 Corinthians 15 says that. And you get your new body, that's a seed in the ground that gives you your new body. And so you should be buried. And he didn't want his bones buried in Egypt. He wanted it buried in the promised land. Even went to that level. So, just something for you to know. And so, you don't need to preach to somebody at their funeral. That's not a good thing. But just so you know that. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. And also a symbol that when you're dead, everything's gone. And it's not true. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. And he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham and the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. All right, I'm going to pray and we'll go ahead and we're going to talk about going with God's flow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these faithful people, Lord, these hungry people who love your word. Man, they're good people, Lord. There's so many good folks who are fighting to serve you. These aren't people who've been grown up in this church and been going here for 40 years, and it's just a tradition. It's people who decided to come to hear your word and want to be good Christians and have battles and heartaches and struggles. And Lord, we pray today we would hear from you, Lord, and that they would be blessed for being here. Lord, I can't do that. Human flesh is to no avail in this spiritual battle. We pray that your spirit would do the work that needs done, and I pray you control my mind, my words, my tongue, everything, and you'd speak in a powerful way to us and help us to learn your word and to follow your way and to follow your flow and your guidance in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this passage, several things. First of all, God chose a specific way to lead them out of Egypt. He took them out of Egypt. As you know, the story of the Exodus, they left Egypt as slaves, and they were armed and had spoiled the Egyptians and taken a lot of their stuff, and which they had earned through being terrible slaves. And they had, by the way, it's not stealing. If somebody captured me and took me to a foreign country and made me a slave for 25 years and didn't do anything but feed me bread and water and took all my stuff and took my freedom and took everything, and I'm escaping, I'm not feeling bad. I'm not stealing their boat. They owe me their boat, and then a lot more. And so they did that to the Egyptians. They took their stuff, and they made them slaves. And slaves, of course, wrong. Slavery is. And so they They took him out, but they could have went a real quick route. Be kind of like you going to Bellingham, and you go by Bellingham by way of Spokane. You could have went there real quick, but God said, I don't want you to go right up there. You could just cut around the corner and went up into the promised land. He said, I don't want you to go quickly into the promised land, because if you're taking the short route, you're going to take the short route back to Egypt when you face a battle. One of the things in life God has to do with us, he has to take us through routes and take us through situations where we can't go back. Understand, God's goodness to you is that he wants to lead you in such a way where you can't mess it up afterward. Because you and I are such good messer-uppers that if we can go back and mess things up, we'll do it. And so God said, let me burn the bridges. Let me burn some bridges behind you so you won't go back to that. And some of you and some of us sometimes get mad at the way God leads us because he doesn't lead us by the most direct path. But understand, you know some people in your life, you wish God would have burned some of their bridges and they couldn't have gone back some things. And you in your own life wish you couldn't have gone back some things you went back to. And God does that in his goodness, in his sovereignty, knowing our weakness. He leads us through a way that's not the most convenient path in life, but a path that is the best for you, because he cares about you and he doesn't want you going back and destroying yourself. We go back to things. The Bible says a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool return to his folly. And God leads you in the best way, not the most convenient way. Everyone wants convenience. Everyone wants everything so easy and so quick. I'm listening right now, and I've seen a nation that's overspent and people who are overspent for 20 years. And now that everybody's overspent and in debt and everything, all the commercials on the radio and on TV are about how you can get out of debt in 2 years and own your house and how you can instantly get rid of all your credit you owe and this and that. And how's that working? You got to dig yourself out. Yes, if you missed a bunch of payments for a very long time, you might be able to settle for partial debt. But you know what? It's you can't just go back on things you've done quickly. Mistakes linger. And you got to fix things. And now you can still fix them and have a great life. And God can bless you and stuff. But you got to dig at yourself out sometimes. And sometimes you don't want to make it easy to go back. Don't keep that bad boyfriend or girlfriend's phone number. Okay? Don't keep ties with things you don't have. Don't keep inviting your friend you did drugs with back over. You need to cut the contact off with them. Witness to them. Try to get them saved. Get them serving God. If it doesn't work, say, you know what? I can't hang around you anymore. I don't hate you. I don't despise you. But you get sometimes you can't. It's too easy to go back. And God said, I don't want you going back. I don't want you to go. Well, as soon as the hard time comes, you're going to run back. And please don't be a Christian like that. When the hard times come and the battle comes, if you're going to serve God, you're going to come into some battles. You're going to come into some warfare. You're going to come into some tough times. And so many times when I see somebody, they go start serving God, suddenly things get a little tougher. Bad things happen, and harder things come, and worse news comes, and bigger battles comes, and attacks come. Why? Because you're now a target. You weren't a target for the devil when you weren't serving God. Now the devil cares about you. Now you can make a difference, and so now you are a target. And now you're going to come under attack, and now you get tested. But you know what? If you'll stay faithful, you'll go to the promised land. You just might not get there by the quickest route. Stay on the right track and follow God's leading. And God did something very interesting here as he led them. He wanted to lead them, and he decided he was going to lead them through a pillar. In verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of the cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from four people. So God said, I'm going to lead you out of Egypt. And what he did is he said, I'm going to really make it easy. I'm going to make a pillar. That's a pillar there. It's probably a lot bigger than that to lead several million people. But he says, the pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire. At nighttime, it become a pillar of fire. At daytime, it become a pillar of cloud. And also depending on who is around it. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. And he said, I'm going to lead you by this pillar, and you're just going to go follow this pillar, and it's a tornado or something, some big pillar that goes up in the sky, a huge pillar, and he says, follow it. And so they were leaving Egypt. And by the way, they've been in Egypt their whole life. They'd never traveled. Rand McNall and MapQuest hadn't been created yet. And they said, okay, there's the pillar. Let's follow it. And they followed the pillar. And they kind of thought, well, you know, I thought this promised land we're supposed to go into, I always heard it was the north and the east, and we're going south and east. But that's where the pillar's going. So I'll follow the pillar south, down into the peninsula, into the wilderness. Well, eventually that pillar led them. And they're rolling along, getting out of Egypt, everything's going okay. And they say, okay, we're following the pillar. What is that big blue thing in front of us? Oh, the Red Sea. I think you got lost. God must be a male. He won't admit it. And he's lost. And we're at a Red Sea right now. And pillar, you led us to the Red Sea. But you know what? The pillar knew where it was going. And God led them by the pillar, and they were supposed to follow the pillar wherever it went. And they were just supposed to do what the pillar said. It was literally guiding them. If you turn forward to Exodus 33, the pillar symbolized, it guided them, first of all. Secondly, it symbolized the presence of God. Where the pillar was, the presence of God was. Exodus 33 and verse 8. And it came to pass when Moses went into the tabernacle that the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. This is Exodus 33:8. And it came to pass, by the way, Exodus 33 is in the deepest, most beautiful chapters of the Bible. And it came to pass when Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses, and the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the door of the at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man at his tent door. And the Lord spake in Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. So this pillar was the presence of God, and that was God coming in the presence of the pillar, and they knew that the presence of God was wherever the pillar was. When the presence of God would come and accept the sacrifice that God has pleased with Israel, there came the pillar to the temple. When he was going into the temple to sanctify it, there came the pillar. When God would come in the presence with Moses, there would come the pillar, and the presence of God was the pillar. And so they're supposed to follow the pillar, which was the presence of God, the big cloud, the big tornado, the big whirlwind, whatever it was. And they're just supposed to follow it around because it was a symbol of the presence of God and the leadership of God and following God's plan for their life. And wherever the pillar went, they were to go and follow that wherever it went. They didn't have to worry about anything. Bible says their clothes would never grow old while they were following the presence of God. Their shoes would grow with them. The Bible literally says that. I want those shoes for my kids. Literally grew with them, and their clothes would never wear out, and they wouldn't have to worry about food, and everything was taken care of with them supernaturally as long as they followed the pillar. But once they got away from the presence of God and God's plan for them, they were in trouble. They said at one point, want to go back to Egypt. God says, I'm not going back with you to Egypt. And I'm not parting the sea backward. And no, that's not what I want. You follow the pillar. I want to give you some thoughts on following the pillar in our lives, because it's a symbol of the presence of God. And you're supposed to follow the presence of God in your life. And that's what you and I are supposed to do today. Let me give the first one. First of all, it's our job to follow the pillar. Let's go to Numbers. Go forward to Numbers. We'll be back in Exodus, but go to Numbers. It's your and my job to follow the presence of God, the leadership of God in our life. It's our job to follow the pillar. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, give me a sec to get there. Numbers 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, and the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested their tents. See this? Wherever the tent goes, go there. If it stops, don't go anywhere. If it goes, you go there. When the tabernacle goes, you go after it. When the pillar goes, you go after it. Verse 17, when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after the children of Israel journeyed in the place where the cloud abode, and there the journey of the children of Israel pitched their tents. And the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of God kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, or the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. So it didn't matter day or night. Oh, the cloud's moving. We got to go. Didn't matter when, where, why. Sometimes you sit there for a month. Sometimes you sit there for a day. Sometimes you'd stop for half a day. You'd pitch your tent and it'd stay there until the even, or it'd stay there for a day. And you'd say, okay, we're pitching our tents. Oh, pillar's moving. Time to get our tents up. Then they'd move and they'd just go. Their whole job was just to go and follow the pillar. They didn't have to figure everything out. Why are we moving today? Why are we sitting here for 3 days? Doesn't matter. Your job is to follow the pillar. Well, I want to go this way. Why are we moving? I've been sitting here for 3 weeks. I don't like this spot. Doesn't matter. The pillar hasn't moved. Stay there. Man, we've only been sitting here for half a day. I'm tired. I don't want to go anywhere else. Follow the pillar. That's your job. It's not your job to figure out why or when or how or be comfortable with it. It's not your job. When the pillar stops, you stop. When the pillar goes, you go. When the pillar keeps on going and you're tired, you keep on following the pillar. When the pillar stays there for a month, you stay there for a month. Why am I staying there? Because the pillar didn't move. Oh, I know that, but why didn't it move? You don't need to know that. You just have to follow. Do you got food? Yeah. Clothes wearing out? No. Shoes growing? Staying on your feet? Yep. Water coming out of a rock to give you all the water you need? Yep. Okay, so just stay there then. Follow the pillar. But I want to go somewhere else. I want to go see what's up ahead. No, that's dangerous. Because if you don't follow the pillar, the presence of God is not with you. And now you're on your own. And you can go and say, I don't want to stay here right now. And you know what? There's a whole bunch of things in life you won't want to do that God will want you to do. But you just follow the pillar. Doesn't matter what you want to do. Your job is to follow the pillar. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple in life? All I've got to do is not figure out everything in life. I don't have to figure out tomorrow. I don't have to figure out how I'm going to do everything. I don't have to figure out where I'm going to live or what's going to happen to my health or how I'm going to do this to my family or what I'm going to do about the economy or what's going to happen. I don't have to worry about any of that. I just have to follow the pillar. We're just saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I found out when I was when I started serving God that if I just stay in the will of God, I'll be taken care of. I've never wandered from the pillar. Doesn't mean I've never sinned. I've certainly sinned way too much. But you know what? I've never left God's will. I've watched people leave God's will. And when they do, they get away from the pillar, and pretty soon the Egyptians kill them. See, if they would have ran away from the pillar at the edge of the Red Sea, they would have never seen the Red Sea part, and the Egyptians would have killed them from behind. But those who stayed at the pillar, they got to go across the Red Sea on dry ground. That's where the pillar went. The pillar went across the Red Sea. So we got to cross it. What if the walls fall down on me? It's not your job to figure out how to hold the walls up. You got a wall of water on this side and a wall of water on this side, and you can see fish looking at you very curiously, and you can find Nemo, and you can do all those things. But the walls are sitting there, and it's not your job. You know what? I'm just going to follow that pillar up there. I hope. I'm going to follow the pillar real close. I don't want to get too far behind, because that's all you have to do. Do you know if you just follow God's plan for your life, you'll be fine? Oh, you don't know the economy, Pastor. I know the economy. I know all the people who are out of jobs in here. I know what it's like to pay bills. I know what it's like to support a family. I got a big family. I know what it's like to pay bills. But I don't worry about it. I'm with a pillar. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so all these things will be added. What about your health, Pastor? What are you going to do if you get cancer? What are you going to do if you get some terrible disease? Well, if I'm close to the pillar, that means the pillar wanted me to have that disease. And I'll deal with it. Well, what are you going to do? Don't you worry about your family and the culture and the society and everything else? Not when I say close to the pillar. My job is to follow the pillar. What's a church going to do in the future? It's going to stay close to the pillar. Amen. Well, what are you going to do about a building? What are you going to do about that? I don't know. You worry more than I do. I worry about staying close to the pillar. Amen. If I stay close to the pillar, everything's fine. I don't worry about it. My job is to stay close to God. If I stay close to God and this church stay close to God, we'll be just fine. Well, what will we do? We're not going to be able to get $3 million to buy a building someday. the pillar will figure it out. It's like he did at the Red Sea. So often I've had so many pastors and so many people say, Pastor or Brother Byram, you guys got to get a building, this and that. And I've looked at it, and I've looked at it, and I've called about buildings. I've looked at buildings. I've looked at finances. I've looked at loans. I've talked to, I've done everything. I've done everything I'm supposed to do just to be diligent about it. But the pillar's never moved. God doesn't want us to have a building yet. So what are you going to do, Pastor? I don't know. You think about things more than I do. I learned I got to figure out how to stay. That's hard enough for me to stay close to the pillar. I'm a wanderer. And I go, hey, I want to go up ahead. Hey, I want to go check this out. You know what? There's enemies coming. Look, the Egyptians are going to kill us. Ah! And get all stressed out. Have you figured out in life yet you can't figure everything out in life? If you haven't, then you're still a teenager. There's a lot you can't control in life. And if you still think you control everything in life, you're oblivious. You just haven't been a doctor one more time. You just haven't had the business say we're shutting the doors. The government's going to take care of me. They're broke. They just haven't stopped writing checks yet, but they're broke. Your job is just to follow the will of God. God has not told us to look to get another building, look for another building. And you know what? Every time I look, I just say, you know what? God just says stay right here. You know, it's a really hard thing to lead when you're just sitting there. Moses, lead us! I am. We're sitting by the pillar. Well, I mean, what's your plan? I'm going to stay by the pillar there. I'm not crazy enough to wander away. You know what? We're right where God wants us to be. I'm right where God wants me to be in life. You might be right where God wants you to be in life, but here comes the Egyptian army. They were right where God, they were still by the pillar. They said, they're coming, they got chariots, they can kill us all. What do we do? Let's scatter, let's fight them. We got stuff to fight with. Let's do it. Pillar is saying nothing. We're at the Red Sea, what do? You stay with the pillar. Stay in the will of God for your life. Don't panic. But I started going to church, Pastor, and this and this and this happened. Stay by the pillar. They saw the enemies. They saw the enemies of God, and they got scared, and God said, I'm very mad at you. And by the way, those of you who get away from the pillar, you go away saying, I'm going to be fine, I got a plan, and you come back with a whole bunch of tragedy. Tragedy with your kids, tragedy with your finances, tragedy with your health, tragedy with your emotions, tragedy with your marriage. Stop getting away from the pillar. The pillar, by the way, is a church. Where two or more are gathered there, I'm in the midst of them. I walk in the midst of seven churches. You go to church, you go. It's not God's will you don't go to church. God's will is you're at church on Sunday. That's one of the ways. When I was a young Christian, I got a huge burden for the mission field. And I always wanted to go to the mission field. I didn't really want to go to America. I wanted to go to the mission field. And you know what? I think I'd be a really good missionary. I'm very effective when I go to the mission field. And you know what? I'm very healthy, and I got a very healthy family. And you know what? I think I'd be a great missionary. I can live in a mud hut, and I'm pretty content with anything. I can endure hardness. I think I'd be a great missionary. I deal better with mud huts than spoiled Americans. My VCR broke. Pray for me. I'm not going to make it. VCR. I'm still in the wrong century. DVD. Somebody said, you got Blu-ray? I said, I don't got any fish. I don't know. But I'm in the wrong century. But you know what? The pillar didn't take me to the foreign mission field. Pillar said, go to Seattle and deal with yuppies who drink too much coffee and are very spoiled and have a lot of things. And I say, all right, I'll stay by the pillar. He told me to go. When I was a happy teenager doing God's work and had a great ministry in Oregon, he said, go to Bible college in Indiana. Man, if you've never been to Gary, Indiana, it's like going from heaven to hell. It's like going from a nice warm bath to going in the middle of a snowstorm. It's awful. There's no mountains. Every tree looks dead. They're black and no leaves and nothing. It's ugly. The best thing ever came out of, tell you how bad Gary is, where I was right next to, the best thing ever came out of Gary was the Jacksons. That tells you how bad it is. That's the best thing. And that's not good. No trees, no mountains, hot and humid in the summer, 20 below in the winter, wind constantly. I said, I don't like this place. This church has 10,000 people. I like my home church. I like my pastor. But that's where the pillar was for me. So I trudged off, froze, sweated, dealt with real humidity for the first time in my life. Nowhere to get away from anybody. People everywhere, crowded, terrible traffic, everything. But that's where the pillar was. Pillar doesn't always take you where you want to go. But my job is to hang around the pillar. And the pillar said, I'm going to Indiana. Do you want to go with me? And if I don't go in God's will, I don't have God's presence with me. I'm on my own. I'm not following God's plan for my life. Don't panic or get impatient because you don't like where the pillar leads. Don't panic or get impatient because things aren't going well when you follow the pillar. The pillar will take care of you. You got to stay in God's presence. You got to stay in God's plan for your life. And by the way, if you're not saved today, you don't got the pillar in your life. It is our job to just follow the pillar. That's our job. Number two, the pillar does not always take us the way we expect. Let's go back to Exodus. I already covered this, but just to briefly hit it again. The pillar does not always take us the way we expect. Exodus 13. And verse 18. But God led the people about throughout the way the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up and a harness out of the land of Israel. And verse 17, it says, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. God did not take them the way through the land of the Philistines in verse 17. It's not the way they had planned to go. What you think is best and the most direct way in life is not necessarily His way, nor the best way. Your job is not to decide the best way in life or the things you should do in life, but your job is to just follow the pillar. What job should I work? It might not be the job that you get paid the most at, or it might be. It's for your job to pray and say, Lord, guide me to the right job. And Lord, help me to find the right job you want me to have and follow biblical guidelines. Obviously, there are certain jobs that shouldn't work. The Bible says, for example, in Amos, I'm not supposed to give alcohol to people. So I'm not going to be a bartender, Lord. And obviously, you want me to go to church, so I'm not going to work on Sunday. But Lord, outside of the obvious biblical things here, I don't know what job to work. I pray you guide me to the right job. It's not my job to just say, what do I want to do? Where do I want to go? Who do I want to date? Who do I want to marry? Where do I want to live? Where do I want to go to church? It's not your job to do that. It's your job to say, Lord, lead me where you want me to go. Because the same God who leads you beside the still waters in Psalms 23 is also the same God who leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. And both were led by the presence of the shepherd. See, it's not your job to just go to the areas you like and do what you want to do. If God calls you to the mission field and you say, I don't want to go to the mission field, I want to stay in America. Well, I wanted to go to the mission field, but I had to stay in America. And you know what? I like the presence of God. And you know what? I'm happy with my life and I'm happy I'm here today. It was a good plan. I can affect the foreign mission field a whole bunch from here. And you've been able to do that. And we'll be able to do that a lot more in the future. It's not just what you want to do. It's not the path you necessarily want to tread, but it's the presence of God. It's not always the easiest way. Your job is not to decide if it's the right way, the right time, or anything else. It's just your job to follow the pillar. Good. Well, God wants me to go to church here, but I know this church over here has got a lot better program for my dance team I want to be a part of. Doesn't matter. Where does God want you to go to church? You know how rarely somebody in considering a church considers what God wants them to do? That sounds like a terrible statement, doesn't it? But you know what it is? It's where they're comfortable. And whoever can entertain them the most. And if they're not spiritual, whoever will preach the message that will itch their ears the most. As you said in Sunday school, it's not your job to decide where you want to go to church. It's not your job to decide what's the easiest thing to do in life. It's not your job to decide, you know what, I was in the presence of God and suddenly my wife got sick or my husband or my child got sick. And you know what? I'm leaving. I'm running. It's not, you just stay with the pillar. You're married. You stay with that person. If you're in the will of God, don't run from the will of God. The pillar does not always take us where you expect. Next, the pillar, or the Lord's presence, is able to be seen. Let's look at Exodus chapter 13. It says in verse 21, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night the pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night." Sometimes God led them at night, but when we led them at night, the pillar, it's hard to see a big pillar of cloud during the daytime. But so God would say, okay, it's a pillar of fire at nighttime. At nighttime, when it was hard to see a pillar of cloud, he'd make it a pillar of fire. At daytime, when it's maybe hard to see a pillar of fire, he'd lead it by a pillar of cloud. But he always made it so they could see where he was going. And they say he'd made it clear. Can I tell you this? The Bible says that God will guide you. We see in the book of Acts the Holy Spirit guiding us. God gives us his word, the word of God, the Bible. He gives us the Bible to guide us in life. You know what? Stay, and this is the presence of God, and this is the will of God right here, the word of God. And you follow the word of God. This is the primary way God leads you. God wants to guide you, and he makes his will known to you. He's not trying to hide what he wants you to do. However, if you're 50 miles or 100 miles away from the pillar, you're not going to be able to see very clearly. Somebody's got to take you to the pillar. Somebody's got to guide you to the pillar. You got to find the pillar. The closer you are to the pillar, the more easy it is to follow the pillar. And the closer you get to God, you'll have a very easy time hearing from God. Many times people say, Pastor Brian, how do you hear from God? How do you know what God's leading you to do? I've never struggled with that. Never. We're looking for a shuttle. We'll find the shuttle that God wants for us. I don't even worry about it. That van out there is the van that God had for us. He picked it out for us. Just prayed about it, and God led us to it. That shuttle right there that we have, God led us to it. Turn it into a nursery, God led us to that. We're in this building, God led us to this. Who you marry, I mean, God wants to guide you. You just sometimes get too far from the pillar and you can't see. Listen, if I'm in, sometimes I'll be listening to a good football game and I'm driving down to Oregon, and you know what, or listen to something interesting on the radio, and then I get towards Olympia, and I don't hear it very good anymore. Or I go out in the mountains, and a mountain comes in the way, and now I can't hear it because I'm getting too far away. And by the time you get to Centurion, you got to start picking up Portland stations. And when you get close to God, you can hear real closely. You say, there's a pillar right there. But some people get far away from God. If you get close to God, you'll read your Bible, you'll go to church, you'll pray, you walk with God and get to know him and spend time with God and do what you ought to do. God's voice will be clear and he'll guide you. He's not trying to hide. He'll give you a pillar of fire at night. The word of God will guide you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Godly counsel and wisdom. Those are the four main ways you're guided in life. The word of God is number one. The Holy Spirit is number two. And you pray about it and God guides you. And then wise counsel, of course, is all over the Bible. And then having wisdom, all those things, those will guide you in life. They'll help you find things. God is not trying to confuse you. Fascinating, though, if you go to Exodus 14, the pillar is very confusing to those on the wrong side of it. Exodus chapter 14, start of verse 9, Exodus 14, verse 19. Then the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of God went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came to pass, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Notice this, they go to the Red Sea, and the pillar led them there, and they said, oh no, the Red Sea. And then, oh no, the Egyptians. And they said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then the pillar went around them and went from in front of them and went behind them and blocked the Egyptians from getting to them. So the presence of God will always take care of you. Once that pillar was there, there was no worry about the Egyptians coming to them. They still didn't know how they're getting across, but they just knew, hey, you know what? Now the presence of God is taking care of me. And the Bible says the Lord shall be your re-reward, which means your back guard. And God will take care of your front and your back and your behind and your everything. God will watch you all the time. He'll always take care of you. He always knows what's going on. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. If you're in the presence of God, God's presence will take care of you. But you know what? I'm facing something really scary in life. Stay close to the pillar. Don't run from the pillar. But the pillar is where the Egyptians are going to. That's okay. The devil is going to fight against you if you're in the will of God. But just stay there. But watch what happens when it goes behind them. Verse 20, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. So the one came not near the other all night. The presence of God was darkness to the Egyptians, the world. Can I say this? When you are away from God, or you aren't saved, or you aren't close to God, the presence of God is very confusing. One of us says, I'm going to go do this for God. I would look at Tom Trock and say, he's retired military. He's working a very high-end job. He's got a 6,000 square foot log cabin on several acres. He's got his life set up. He's 51 years old, got his family, everything set up in life. And an unsaved person looks at this. He's going to Uganda, West Africa, where there's AIDS and orphans and disease and war and, doesn't make any sense, darkness. But that's where the pillar is going for him. And it's going to be a really good place for him. The will of God for your life is a great place, and it'll take care of you. But if you're not saved today, you're not going to understand the presence of God. Matter of fact, Adam and Eve ran from the presence of God. The presence of God's scary to those who aren't close to God. When you get backslidden, you'll run away from the presence of God. You won't go to church. You won't want to be at church. Why? Because the presence of God's going to be there speaking to you. And when you're away from God, the will of God seems so far away. And when you're living in rebellion against God, you're in a lot of darkness. Because that's what the pillar can do. The pillar can be a blessing or a curse. It wasn't a good thing to the Egyptians. It wasn't, Adam didn't want to be around the presence of God, but the presence of God is powerful, and you need to realize it's able to be seen unless you are in the wrong side of it. Next, the pillar can be comforting and a blessing, and it can be scary and destructive depending on which side you are on. Look at verse 24. And it came to pass in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians to the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, and the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand over the sea and upon the waters, so that they may come down upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. The pillar can become comforting and a blessing. After they crossed the Red Sea, they said, you know what? We've got manna. We've crossed the Red Sea. The Egyptians are dead. Everything's good. We've got food. We've got manna. They crossed it. Everything was taken care of. It was wonderful being around the pillar. Everything was taken care of for them. And it protected them so many times. And yet, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. They wanted to go back to Egypt. See, the pillar tries your face sometimes and doesn't immediately give you everything. Where's the food? Where's the water? The pillar's here. It'll take care of us. And some wanted to run away from the pillar and back to Egypt. Can I just tell you, the presence of God for your life can be very scary. It tests your faith sometimes. The pillar does not always give you the answer. You just know it's there. And those who have faith will look and say, there it is. Pillar is there. Egyptians. Pillar's there. Where's our food? Pillar's there. There's no water. And those of faith will say, but the pillar's there. I'm sure. Yep, there's that pillar. I'm in the right spot. Boy, this doesn't look good, but there's the pillar. I'm fine. And if you'll be a person who will go and say, why this? Why can't I go this way? Why can't I have this? Why do this? I don't understand. I want to go this way. It's scary. Things are going rough. I'm running. And you run from the presence of God when hard times come. When your faith gets tested. Yes, some of you are serving God now and weren't serving God, and scary things are happening to you. Stay by the pillar. Don't run. But things don't look good. I don't know what's going to happen. Stay by the pillar. Run away from the pillar. You're on your own in the wilderness. No miraculous food. No miraculous water. No miraculous deliverance from the Egyptians. Somebody finds you, you're dead. But the pillar can go and take care of any enemy. The pillar can provide everything you need. The presence and will of God for your life, and I've seen many people who God called them to do something very different or very scary, and the pillar led them to a scary land or led them to the edge of the Red Sea, and they left the pillar, and then they said, you know what, I got a great plan to get out of this, and their plan didn't work. And their life failed. And they did not work out because you are supposed to follow the presence. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He says, if you are in my presence doing my work, I'm with you always everywhere. But I want to go this way. Doesn't matter. Your job is to follow the pillar. Do not try to figure your life out. She's not trying to figure out every detail. I got it planned. I'm going to get married at this time to this kind of person. This is going to happen. I'm going to get this job, this career, this health, and I'm going to do this. I'm always going to be skinny. I'm going to have this and this and this. I'm going to do da 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 da. And everything's going to get, my kids are going to be perfect. Everything's going to be worked out. How's that working? How about you say, God, I'm going to follow you whatever you lead me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm going to follow the pillar. Isn't that simple? But somebody in church offended me. I'm not going back to church. Oh, you think an Israeli who got offended by another Israeli, you know what? I'm leaving you. I'm going out. I'm going away from here. You're not too bright. They're with the pillar. Stay with the pillar. Your job is to go with God's flow. I'm sitting here getting nowhere in life. I'm serving God, but I'm not going anywhere. The pillar is sitting still. When I started this church, the pillar didn't go anywhere for a year. Nobody came to church. And many people, many preachers said, you know what? You need to leave. God must have a better plan for you. Pillar was still here. I'm not going to leave, and the pillar is there. And the pillar is still here. Pillar hadn't moved. I don't want to leave God's will. I'm afraid to leave God's will for my life. I'm not afraid of very many things. I'm kind of nuts. I can stand on the edge of a cliff and love it. I can go swimming with sharks. I'm just nuts. Not many things scare me. I'm weird.